Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat as I heard him ask we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Is suggested.
Welcome everybody once again to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host this evening, Chris, aka Billy Bikerson. I'll be sitting in the captain's chair while Jeremy takes a little takes a night off here to attend a family function. And I hope he's having a good time out there with what he's doing tonight. And I've also got with me co-host Daryl, the voice of reason out of Colorado. How the hell are you doing tonight, Daryl?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I'm just trying to get my butt home right now. Just came from Texas, delivered up in the dairy. Go there, this dairy up in north of Gill, Colorado. So now I'm making my way home so I can get back in the house and be able to talk to y'all while we're doing this. But I'm doing pretty damn good. God bless America.
You know, I got unconfirmed. I got unconfirmed reports that you brought that tanker in there, and you power slid all 18 wheels and did a sideways parking job. Is that true?
Yes, it is. You know, that's just me, man. I'm crazy like that. I'm very crazy like that.
So, you know, with Jeremy being gone tonight, I have to be twice as rowdy. Actually, a little bit more than twice as rowdy because, you know, Jeremy's a little bit more rowdy than I am, which means you're going to have to be like twice. You're going to have to be twice as reasonable. But when I talked to you earlier, you seem kind of fired up. I don't know how this show's going
to
go.
Oh, you know, okay. You know me. Only thing you have to do is just tee up a couple of things and Voice of Reason gone out the window. You know, you know what? When it comes to, how can I say it, stupidity and comes to people being just straight stupid, but then it comes to loving America, standing up for God, standing up for my flag, stand up for common sense. And when there's people that don't even stand up for common sense, yeah, that pisses me off. And then they want us to conform to it. Nah, you know what? People got to start standing up.
That's why they say truth, justice, the American way, mom, apple pie, mom, apple pie, and Daryl.
Damn straight.
Anyway, we got a good show lined up for you, folks. I got a couple of guests that we're going to have, hopefully two guests. I know we got one on the line right now. I'm going to have him on here very shortly. We're going to talk a little bit about that recently released documentary called Died Suddenly. So we're going to get, you know, that obviously that's not going to be a real happy part of the program, but we're going to get the sad stuff, I think, out of the way first. And then we're going to have a little bit of a conversation about pronouns in the workplace and some of the ways that the pronoun generation is starting to cause problems as they come into the workforce. Then we're going to talk about the Q3 shooting as well. Obviously, that's out there in Daryl's neck of the woods out there in Colorado. And then we're going to talk about why it is that truckers hate Tesla trucks. And, of course, I don't think that truckers actually hate Tesla trucks. Issue of they're not practical. At this time, I'm not saying they never will be, but right now they're not practical, at least for over-the-road use. And we're going to talk about all of that. But, you know, I want to give just a few little late-breaking headlines that kind of came in a little bit too late to research for and be able to talk about on the show adequately. But this one just came in literally about half an hour ago. I got the word of this. I guess this is for the truckers out there. The Flying J in San Antonio, I'm not all that familiar with San Antonio. I know there's a Flying J out there somewhere around, 35 and Loop 410. But apparently the Flying J in San Antonio has burned down today. And the initial claims are that a fire started in the Denny's, but it sounds like the whole damn truck stop burned down. But again, that's just kind of based on secondary information that I'm getting. I know our producer sent us an article here about an hour ago that apparently the Dutch government is moving forward with shutting down by force 30% of the family farms out there, which has led to, once again, the Dutch farmers are protesting en masse. Which I don't know, some of you may not have even been aware that there was a Dutch farmer uprising not too long ago when they first started announcing some of these plans on cutting back on the ammonium nitrate that they use as fertilizer. Not a good situation. And from what I understand, this time the Dutch police forces are out there with excavators and are actually flipping the tractors over that are blocking up the roads. I guess they learned a few tactics from the last time. What do you think of that, Daryl?
That's a bunch of bullshit right there. You know what, people? We gotta start waking up. You know, the government, they're just showing that they're just gonna go off and they don't want you to own anything. Only people they want to own stuff is the government and the elite. These are working people. This is what they do for a living. And they're going to come in and say, you know, no matter what, we're just going to take everything from you and you get nothing. And then now they're uprising, they're protesting like they're supposed to, and they're being peaceful. But then they got their police force going out there flipping over their tractors. Right. People, we got to start waking up. We got to wake up. That what?
Not during this one. There was an incident at the last big protest that they had out there where there was actually a police officer that fired a round at one of the farmers out there in the tractors. Just a really sad situation. A bunch of cowards
yep.
wearing badges these days. I can't believe that they would say, I mean, thought we would hit a low point in humanity where it needed
yes.
to be explained to someone that if we're already experiencing global supply issues and we're already having food shortages, that shutting down 30% of the farms in any particular location is going to worsen that problem. But apparently that has to be explained to people. And then they will argue with you because their television told them, no, it'll be okay.
Well, you always got to look at it like this. These people that are these globalists, they fly in there in their big old jets. They go in to have these conferences eating Kobe beef, and they're trying to tell the rest of the world, okay, you have to eat dirt, grubs, and everything else, but we're going to go ahead and eat beef. We're going to eat meat. We're going to eat all the stuff that is tasty, but you get nothing. And right now they're playing off the ignorance of people because no one wants to research anything. And they're saying, well, Google said it's okay. My friend said it's okay. No, it's not okay. If someone walked up to you and cuts up all your stuff out of your house and said, hey, here's some worms, here's some dirt, go ahead and eat that. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and say, oh, well, I'll do that? No, you won't. You're going to be pissed, and you're going to be pissed off, and you're going to say, you know what, you better give me my food. And they're just, and
right.
everything starts off at a very little, at one spot, and then it spreads, and they're just seeing what's going to happen. Just like this COVID stuff, you know, the thing happened, and they're just like, okay, let me see how these people are going to react. Are they going to be scared? Are they going to stand up and say, you know what, we're not going for your crap? And what happened? We end up, majority of these people, not majority, a lot, because the majority said hell no. That's why they don't want to go with the mandates and everything else, and that's why they made it where you cannot sue the pharmaceutical people, you cannot sue the person that gave you the shot, and there's supposed to be ingredients on there, and when you look at the doctor, what's in this? They're supposed to be able to tell you. They can't tell you. So they start with this little simple thing, and then look what happens. We got people driving their cars by themselves wearing a mask. We got people driving outside, running outside by themselves in a mask. You got people sitting at a restaurant trying to sip their wine and drinks through a mask. I'm like, when do we stop the insanity and says, you know what, let's start using some damn common sense. And just because the government says so, we need to start questioning the government and say, you know what, I can think on my own. I don't need you to tell me what to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, the only other headline I had here real quick, and I have no additional information on this. Maybe we can cover some of this stuff next week, but apparently the European Union is threatening to ban Twitter over basically its free speech concept. And so, I mean, wow, what else do you need to know? They're taking away your food. They're forcing injections on you. They're telling you can't question them. And they're even telling you that you're not allowed to have free speech. You're not allowed to talk bad about them. I mean, it's crazy. And, of course, some other news from this week. You know, China is pretty much in a full-out revolution right now. They're calling it the largest revolution since Tiananmen Square in 1989, potentially bigger. And I know as of, I believe it was last night, the Chinese government actually sent in tanks to one of the protests. Of course, these protests broke out because a lot of people aren't aware. The largest city out there, Shanghai, has been under a zero COVID policy lockdown, a full lockdown, and not like the lockdowns we had here. They literally went out and they're doing their old tricks over there, welding doors shut to keep people inside. They have drones that patrol these multi-tenant residential buildings, reminding people they have to stay outside or inside. Just crazy. But apparently there was a fire that broke out in one of these apartment buildings, and because all the doors were welded shut and everything else and padlocked and all that, the people, not all the people were able to get out. Some people got trapped, and apparently 10 people died in that fire, including a three-year-old. And the fire department, when they got there, because of the barricades around the building, they couldn't even get their fire trucks close enough to start extinguishing the flames until they had been there for 3 hours. They basically had to break down some of the barricades to even get to it to put the fire out. And once word of this got out amongst the people, it has sparked nationwide mass protests where, I mean, people are attacking police and everything else. There's been a huge walkout at one of the factories where they manufacture Apple iPhones. And, yeah, that one's really out of control. Massive, massive walkout. Those people were basically, what they were doing, they were actually being made to sleep inside the building. They were working so many hours a day that they would be given breaks to go sleep, but they had to sleep inside the building and then return to their workstation to continue working. So that's the kind of stuff you're seeing there. And I guess people finally were able to force their way out of the building, and pretty much everybody stormed out of there and went off and have since joined the zero COVID policy protest and the protesting those that died in that horrible fire. So, yeah, all kinds of crazy news from around the world that you're not hearing about.
And you're not hearing about it. And guess what? Hey, LeBron, I don't hear you saying anything, are you? Oh, wait a minute. Your mouth is shut because this is happening in the United States. You're actually up there talking about all this bullshit. Oh, all the United States are doing that. The president is prejudiced and da-da-da. But then you got China pulling all this mess because China ended up pulling the strings of the NBA, and also that is LeBron's paycheck. He doesn't have enough nerve to say something. Now, Freedom, it would not surprise me if Freedom come out and starts talking about some stuff like this. At least I'll give that man some respect. You know what? Because he'll sit back and he'll call it out like it is, and that's what he's been doing. But LeBron, I just get sick and tired of his mouth. He just needs to just play basketball and shut the hell up. Because the thing is, he's making a lot of money here in the United States, but he wants to sit back and talk about capitalism when he's making the money off of it. But then you got China that's doing all this craziness, what they're doing against their own people, against their own citizens, taking away their rights. Now you have them welding doors shut, keeping them in there, and then this tragedy happened where people died, the department can't even get to the building. But yet we have all these NBA stars that sit back, including LeBron. They don't sit back and say anything about this. They don't let the world know about this because Nike is in bed with China because they sit back and when the sweatshops make all their shoes and everything else. But as soon as another basketball player speaks up about it, LeBron's first to go ahead and try to shut them down. You know what? LeBron, do me a favor. And I know you hear this, or somebody that knows him hear this. You know what? Either A, China, or B, why don't you just be quiet? Don't say anything about the United States. Go ahead and dribble, make your damn gun money, and be popular, and leave us the fuck alone. You don't tell us how to live, because we know how to live. And for a person that sits back, bunch of crap, and did some things that was wrong where he should have apologized, isn't even man enough to apologize about anything that he does that is wrong, or anything that he does is a mistake. Everybody is human. You make mistakes. But when you sit up there and you think you're holier than thou, that's a problem we have with a lot of these politicians, these people that think they're holier than thou, they think they know everything. But then some of us, not me, who sit back and idolize these people, then they sit back and get on their bandwagon. Oh, well, they said it, so they must be right. You know what? Get off their bandwagon. Because the only thing they're doing is getting rich off of you, and they don't give a damn about you. And what's going on in China, people, you need to watch what's going on in China. Because ever since Jimmy Carter decided to let China back in dealing with the United States, we are slowly beginning to look like China. We're slowly beginning to do the same dumb things that they do with their kids and everything else. Look at the map. Years ago, when you used to look at China and they're going through other pandemics and stuff, what were they in? They were in masks. Everything, masks, masks, masks. All of a sudden, it's coming here, and we're beginning to look like that. TikTok. They're on their TikTok. They sit back and they reward people with doing things that are smart. reward people doing things that is, it's beneficial to China. And people that does stuff like over here that does stupid things on here, like showing dumbasses that are running red lights and stealing cars and doing these stupid motorcycle things, they show them and they don't get rewarded for it. So it's the opposite. So they're sitting back laughing at the United States because we're doing all this stuff and we're rewarding stupidity, but we're not rewarding people that want to go out and make a difference and do things that are smart.
Right. Yeah, that's not going to play out well. You know, we're sharing videos of burnouts while they're sharing TikTok challenges that, you know, reward you for being able to solve a complex math problem and things like that. But I'm going to move past that now. And I'm going to go back to that Died Suddenly documentary. And I don't want to spoil the whole documentary for people. I really encourage people to watch that, find that entire documentary on Rumble, and it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you nothing but your time and attention to watch and listen. And I'm not going to get too much into it. I'm not going to try to repeat the entire, you know, hour or so long documentary here. But essentially, one of the things it really hits on are the sudden rise in deaths from all causes, especially amongst males ages 18 to 49. That's going on. The insurance companies, the life insurance companies are being overwhelmed. And one of the other things that's going on is the funeral directors and the medical examiners who are dealing with the cadavers of these people who died suddenly that were typically otherwise healthy and relatively young. One of the things that they're seeing is they're beginning to notice a huge uptick in the amount of blood clots that they are finding. And for that, we've actually got a guest waiting here to join in and chime in with his, you know, kind of observations after he watched it. His name is John, and he previously for 12 years worked as a phlebotomist in a hospital system. If you're not familiar with the term phlebotomist, that's somebody that works with blood. And so I had him take a look at the documentary, and I'm going to bring him on here now just to kind of share some of his thoughts after he saw the segments of the documentary pertaining to that. So here we go. All right, bringing you on now. John, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hey, John. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right. And we prefer the term either vampire or mansquito.
Mansquito, huh?
Mansquito.
Mansquito.
I haven't heard that one. Man,
oh, nice.
Yeah, we're probably the most hated people in the hospital by the patients.
Oh, I'm sure the kids love you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But, that documentary, man, that was some wild shit, you know? I don't know how else to put it. I worked in doctor's offices. I worked in the main lab of the hospital. And what you guys were saying earlier about the all drugs, they all, even the samples that the doctors are given, have the sheet.
Yep.
In the box. The what it is, what it's for, possible side effects, what's in it. Don't take it if you're allergic to this, 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 and this. All of them, everything, even aspirin.
Yep.
And the fact that these vaccines do not have that should be a massive, massive red flag.
I agree.
But
now,
I don't know.
So go ahead, Jim.
That's just hope. No, I was just going to say, it's just, and as far as I know, and I've done a little looking, I haven't gone in depth, but no vaccine in history has been made and approved this fast.
No, it has not.
Right.
Years of clinical studies.
they're typically pretty cautious about injecting things into your body.
Right. Oh, yes. Horribly cautious, because that's just lawsuits, but then once you took away the lawsuits, what's the problem?
They took away the lawsuits. Yep. And that on the more people, when they were testing this, more people dying from the vaccine than they were with the placebo. But they hit that.
Yeah.
And then there's plenty of research out there that shows that the vaccine was killing people in a high rate, because majority of the time, if you kill more than five people die, they end up scratching the program and starting all over and trying to figure out,
right,
okay, what happened. But they did not do it on this one.
No. Well, there wasn't enough time. The government made it, forced the vaccine out so fast, there was no time to do all that. The due diligence and the research.
Right.
And then I'll bring up some, you know, like on the movie, it showed the blood looking like there was dirt in it.
Right, yeah.
That?
And that's something I want to talk about. There is such a thing. All right, so there's multiple ways to separate cells once it's in a tube. Obviously, a centrifuge. Spins fast enough.
Yep.
The heavier cells go to the bottom. The lighter cells go to the top. Kind of looks like milk after it's been sitting for a long time. You got the clear stuff at the top and the milky, crappy shit at the bottom. But you can also just let a tube sit there. And given enough time, the same thing will happen. Okay?
Yep.
Now, there's a substance in your blood called fibrinogen. It's a protein, if I recall correctly. It's been a number of years since I dealt with this stuff. But what can happen sometimes in the tube is called a fibrin clot. Fibrin is short for fibrinogen. It's a milky white, rubbery, almost calamari-like substance. Does that sound familiar? Like something from the documentary?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what happens is this stuff, if there's something wrong with the person's blood, it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. It's not uncommon. It'll form between the clear plasma and the bottom, like the red cells and whatnot. And like in the tube, you can actually pour the plasma and all that off, and that clot is rubbery enough that nothing else will pour out except what's on top of it. It forms a complete seal. And to me, that's what those blood clots that they were calling look like, was more of a fibrinogen clot. Because
mm-hmm.
a true blood clot is more, you know, it's red and gooey and, you know, just looks snotty-like as far as, like, consistency.
Right.
But that other stuff looked more like fibrinogen, and the body doesn't do stuff like that if it's pumping. It's not supposed to separate.
Right. So your blood doesn't separate and form those clots as long as you have circulation.
Well,
right.
It's not supposed to. Put it that way. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but in a healthy person, no, not going to happen. Unless an outside agent is introduced into the closed system to force something to happen that shouldn't, i.e. an injection.
A spiked protein?
Yep.
A spiked protein?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a built, I'm going to call it a hunter-seeker missile because that's basically what it is, in a syringe telling the body to do this. And the parts of that documentary where it was showing that the blood was just only kind of a pinkish and it had the coffee ground effect to it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that shouldn't have happened either. That shouldn't be. Unless that is mixed with a lot of water or the formaldehyde or whatever they're using nowadays to prepare the bodies, it shouldn't be that clear. And it should be a lot thicker.
But, of course, we don't know what's in the vaccine to know what that might be that's creating that coffee ground effect.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something
just to eliminate.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you did say that if blood sets, right, not circulating, over time it'll begin that separation process on its own, and you may see that, what do you call them, the fibrogen clots?
Yeah,
what kind
fibrogen
of time
clots.
Period? Okay, so let's say, is this a matter of days or weeks? Let's say a body had been, let's say someone had died and their body had been in holding in a morgue for several days before it got to the embalmer's office. Is that enough time for that type of clot to form?
In a tube, it can happen in a matter of hours, and if the conditions are right, if the people have certain physical health conditions. But I've also seen a tube sit in a refrigerator for days, weeks, and not separate. So a lot of it depends on the health of the person. If you're generally healthy, what's going to happen is as you're sitting there, you have lividity. So all your blood is actually going down. So if you're on your back, the upper portion of your body is losing everything because it's all just, you know, gravity. It's just sucking everything down. So it shouldn't still be like in the carotid and the jugular to have that much to do that, I wouldn't think. I'm not positive. I'm not a doctor. But in my opinion, no, it shouldn't happen at all. I've drawn blood from dead people, which is a very difficult thing to do. And they were, you know, organ donors, so we still had to do a lot of tests on the blood and all that stuff to make sure the organs were still viable. And some of these people have been dead for 20, 30 minutes, hour, and the blood still doesn't look like that. And they're sitting, they're laying in their hospital beds. They're not in the morgue. They're not cold. It's room temperature, and it's still not looking like that. It's a little bit thicker, but it's not horrible.
Yeah, I mean, they're seeing an uptick. I mean, obviously, the embalmers and the funeral homes are accustomed to receiving bodies that have been dead for a few days before they arrive.
Right.
The fact that they're reporting a major uptick, I guess, kind of eliminates, you know, parts of this conversation we just had, because obviously they're saying this is not normal. This is exceeding what we normally see.
Yeah, it's just that shit's not supposed to happen in a human body. It's a closed system.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, that's some scary stuff. Let me put this out there real quick. We do have a guest call-in line. If anybody out there would like to call in, if they'd like to ask John a question or just to throw in their 2 cents into the mix here, that number is, I'm gonna say it twice, 516-387-1733. I'm going to say it one more time here. 516-387-1733. If you have a question, if you have a comment, go ahead and call in. If you've already dialed in and you're here, whenever you do get in and you can hear the radio show, if you do want to say something, hit the number 1 on your dial pad, and that sends an alert to the switchboard that lets us know that that you would like to talk. We do have several listeners that that listen to the show by calling in rather than over the website. So I do have a bunch of phone numbers here that I see of people that are listening over the phone lines. But again, if you are listening and you want to say something, hit the number 1 on your dial pad. That lets me know that you got something to say here, and we will bring you on. All we ask is that you keep it respectful. Of course, you can disagree with anything any of us have to say, but we're going to try to keep it a civil discourse, if that's at all possible. It looks like. Oh, okay. You know what? I got a caller here, and we're going to move on to what was originally going to be our first topic. And looks like we're not getting a whole lot of calls in. We'll return to this subject if necessary. But the second part of the issue here is the pronouns at work and how that is causing problems. I'm going to bring on a guest here, And I'm going to let him tell his story because he tells the story a lot better than I. But what's going on here is he had a misgendering incident, we'll call it. But I want to set this up a little bit. This guy is he works for a national company. Actually, I think they might be international. Not sure. A big company, a really big company. And he grew up on the he kind of grew up in the streets of New York. Former semi-pro middleweight boxer, tattooed guy, big, muscled-up biker. Think about the total number of times you've been to a bar in your entire life, and he's probably been to at least that many bar fights. The picture I'm painting here is, you know, this guy is not exactly what you would call Mr. Sensitive. However, in the workplace, of course, he acts professional. And he had an incident where he thought he was doing the right thing. He's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to be professional. And it kind of backfired on him. And so I'm going to bring him on to tell his story. And then we're going to have a little bit more conversation about all of that. And John, I'm going to move you back over to the headset. And I'm going to bring Joe on here.
Hello.
Right. Bringing Joey Bags up now. Joey, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. There he is. How are you doing tonight?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. We got you.
I apologize. I'm on my car on the way home. I just had some police interaction. So, obviously, I'm okay. I'm on the show again. What's going on, Smoke? How are you, sir?
Oh, man, you know, the bastards ain't killed me yet. You know, that's my usual response. So I was kind of getting you set up there. I don't know if you could hear that or not. But walk us through. Good. Okay. So kind of walk us through what happened there at work for you.
So I am a restaurant manager at a national company. It's not international. It's only here in the United States. It's been around forever. Can't say the name, but it's definitely, you know, Rise of Lenny's. So we can't say the name, though. So
no,
I've been here for 10 years.
I wouldn't even say a rhyming word.
I've been there 10 years. I've had a good track record in this company. I was a roaming manager currently in the Chicago area. Now, Chicago is famous for a few things. One of them is Boys Town. I don't mind whatsoever if someone's gay or lesbian or a transsexual, whatever. It doesn't bother me at all because it doesn't involve my life. Okay.
Right.
I'm a realist. It's 2023, you know, and it is what it is. As long as you're not doing it in front of me, I don't care. You know, I don't want to see you make it out your boyfriend or girlfriend or I don't make out my wife. But, you know, it's just common courtesy. You know, my wife is my wife. People make out in our room, it's different than being out in the front. Everybody is doing whatever we do as adults. You know, I was taught different when I grew up. Well, they stuck me at a store. The first store they stuck me at was there was a few lesbians there. A couple of them were both, they call them bold lights, I guess, which I don't care. You know, my wife's got friends that are, you know, also gay or whatever. No big deal. They got offended by me being so masculine and giving them orders, I guess. That was the first time. I didn't know anything about that. My boss called me one day to say, "Oh, I'm going to move you to the door. I need you over here." I found out later, after I got to this last thing, that's why they moved me, because the lesbians were not used to getting bark orders from guys, I guess. I don't know. I didn't think anything of it. I was telling them basically to do their job. job, get off their phones, and you know, when they're not doing something, they clean. That's normal stuff that you do in a restaurant. I didn't make any jokes with them. I didn't play around with them. You know, I just did my job and left. The second job is the one that kills me. I had called to a restaurant, another restaurant, and there is a guy, which I didn't know was a guy when I first met. I thought it was an ugly chick. Was a cross-dresser, I guess. I don't know. It's a guy dressed as a female. He's taking hormones to have breasts. He's long hair, you know, and he obviously has his nuts stuck into his ass, pants, everything. Whatever. I don't care. So, obviously, after a couple of days of being there, I figured out that was a guy. You know, obviously, he wore a mask all the time, so he couldn't really tell. Sounded like a chick. He didn't have an Adam's apple showing, but, you know, just looked like a frumpy-looking chick. So, no big deal. She's also a manager, but she's a... Or he is a 505, which is a shift manager, not a seller manager. So
right. We're
having a discussion one day with employees, and I said, well, give it to Christian. She will do whatever needs to be done. I said the person's name, but, you know, there's lots of Christians out there. It doesn't matter. So the next 2 days I had off, I worked at AAA, and I was gone. So I came back to work. I got a phone call from my boss, my big boss, the area manager. And he's like, hey, are you going to be at work tomorrow? I'm going to stop in and talk to you. Yeah. Well, you're supposed to be at the other store tomorrow. Don't go there. Stay at this store. I'm like, okay. You all right? He's like, yeah, I'm going to talk. I get over there the next morning. He's sitting there all day long. Don't say anything to me. End of the day, he takes me outside, and we go for a walk, like a Forrest Gump walk, where we sit on the little wooden bench. And he's, like, sitting there making a small talk. I'm sitting there laughing because he's trying so hard to try to spit it out. I mean, he can't get it out of his mouth. Yeah. So I just looked at him and said, hey, listen, whatever you got to say, just say it. If I'm fired, I'm fired. I get it. Whatever. I guess I did. Not a big deal. He's like, well, you're not fired. He's like, I'm just trying to figure out how to say this. I said, just spit it out. He's like, that might be appropriate. And he goes and tells me that the man dressed as a woman complained about me to human resources because I said her. I said her in a sentence talking about him. I said, excuse me? I said, he is dressed as a woman with nails and everything else, like big long nails, the whole nine. You know, I don't get it. He's like, well, hold on. He's like, this is a new world. You have to ask their pronouns. I looked him dead straight in his face and said, what the fuck is a pronoun? I said, I've been out of school for 20-some years. I said, yo, I don't understand what a pronoun is. You have to ask them. I say, what do I mean you have to ask them? Ask them what their pronoun is. What is a pronoun? What are you asking? It'll be he, she, her, them, the fence post, I don't know, something. And what are you supposed to do with this thing, this pronoun? He's like, I guess go with whatever whatever that's what they identify as. I was like, so she identifies a banana, she's a banana. We have to treat her as a banana. He's like, kinda, yeah. I said, get the fuck out of here. Fire me now. I said, fire me. I can't do this. 1950. My wife, God, I'm telling you right now, I have the most saint of a wife there is. She does the cooking, the cleaning. She still goes on her hands and knees and does the floor. Okay? She does all the work. If I try to lift her finger for her to do something, to help her, she'll get mad. Okay? okay? Now, mind you, she's a good woman. She works for a living, does everything for me. She's like a secretary, a super wife, the whole nine over the one. I could imagine not having her in my life the way she is. Okay, and now you're telling me I have to be okay with a guy dressed as a fucking chick and spreading pronouns around. I said, am I fired? What's going on here? He goes, no, but you're walking a thin line with that. He said, because you had issues with the one store with the lesbians. I said, get the fuck out of here. I said, I didn't do anything but tell them what to do with their work. I said, they got mad and just started making shit up. Are you kidding me? I said, you even had to watch the cameras to see that I was right. And you even told me I was right. So I'm getting binged for both these. I said, listen, man, this world is not for me. I said, this whole new world out here, if you're gay, you're gay. If you're a lesbian, you're a lesbian. If you're straight, you're straight. If you want to walk around with a fucking banana hammock on your fucking head, do whatever you want to do, all right? But do not include other people with your bullshit, all right? This is America. We literally kill people for less. Literally. I know somebody get killed for $5. Okay? Tight pants will get shot off. Don't play around. This is ridiculous, man. Go back to the old days. This world sucks.
Yep.
All right. We've got another caller that wants to come on here. Last four digits of the phone number, 0352. And I don't know if they've got a question for you or if they want to say something about our previous conversation. But I'm going to go ahead and bring that person on now. 0352, you are going live. And are you there, caller?
I am. I am here.
All right. Who was that here?
Good evening to you. This is Sean McIntosh.
Sean, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
What's up, Sean?
I don't have anything to add to you guys' conversation that you're having because, you know, all in all, that shit doesn't make a fuck. I'm a trucker, and I want to talk about the trucking industry. I want to talk about what the fuck is going on in our industry. Each one of us guys on this phone, I don't know the other guy, but I know Billy and I know Daryl. We're all truckers. What's going on in the trucking industry? What are we doing? I understand about all the political bullshit and the vaccines and all that. There's no vaccine. Because a vaccine doesn't do a fucking thing. It's not a vaccine, people. Damn shot.
That
but
it
now
is.
I
want to
know what
is.
The fuck is going on in the trucking industry. Because you know what? It doesn't matter if you're queer, if you're straight, if you're black, if you're white. You're a fucking truck driver. What's going on in the trucking industry? The fucking railroad is fixing to have a strike, and you know they want all of us to step up and take the goddamn slack.
Yep.
So
yeah, they support.
What
they
the
support
hell
the railroad
is going strike, on here?
We were terrorists.
Well, you know what? I'm a trucker. I support the railroad guys. I support their strike. I do.
Yep.
And I want to know.
I do too.
What I really want to know, there's some of it that support it and won't do anything against it. I want to hear some of your callers come in here and tell me that they're willing to not step up and take up the fucking slack because they're American truck drivers when they're getting screwed every fucking day of the week. Why would we step up and take the slack from the railroad that's getting screwed before us because our government says, oh, hell, we're not going to get that stuff moved on the railroad, so let's get these truckers. They will step up every time they do it, every time. through the pandemic. Who stepped up and brought their shit to them? It was not the fucking railroad. Because let me tell you, them boys were shut down like everybody else. But the truckers, for some reason, we're fucking immune to this goddamn disease.
I tell you what, John, that's true.
Please, on this show, tell me the fucking deal. Please, I'd like to know, because then I can go to bed and sleep well tonight, get up tomorrow, and run my regular day like I always do and have through the whole fucking pandemic and all the rest of this shit. And even though everybody's crying and whining that they're fucking not making any money, I don't get it. Just like 2022 or 2020 when I went to D.C. And let me tell you something about May Day 2020. We went to D.C. I went to support the guys that were crying and whining about brokers and breaks, just like they're fucking crying and whining today. Let me tell you something. If you'll get out here and fucking work, you're not in a bind. I make more fucking money today than I did last year and the year before and the year before. I'm not having a goddamn problem. So why should I jump up and support all these motherfuckers that are crying because they're not making any goddamn money because they'll haul a dollar fucking 50 a fucking mile freight?
Thank you.
When I won't. And I make goddamn near 500,000 this year. One fucking truck. One truck. By myself. Just me. Have almost made $500,000 this year. Why the fuck do I need to cry about it to stand up with these motherfuckers crying and whining that can't even get four trucks to go to D.C.? When, by God, let me tell you what, no matter what that motherfucker said, there's a few of us that know the goddamn truth about 2020.
Well, like some of the people.
A little bit of cooperation with a bunch of other people made a big difference. You cannot jump on fucking Facebook and YouTube 2 days before you're going to do something and expect 4,000 truckers to show up. He's lucky he got four. And by God, if he hadn't had the planning from myself, and I'm not saying I'm the one that did it, myself and the bunch of people that helped put 2020 together, there would have been four fucking trucks in D.C. on May Day 2020, not 69 the first day, 100 by noon, and 200 for the next 20 fucking days.
But Sean, what is
all
May
right.
Day 2020? You got a lot of people on here. You got.
Hold on, Darryl. So Sean, check this out. Here's what we're gonna do. Next week. We'll bring up, we'll do an episode where we're going to talk about the rail worker strike and the trucking rates, and we'll touch on what happened at the trucks in D.C. back in May of 2020. So why don't you rally the troops, get everybody together for that show, because we are going a little bit off topic from what we got laid out for tonight. But next week, we're going to jump into that. So you rally the troops. You get everybody from all the trucking groups together. And we will hash this out next week, because by that point, we're going to be just a few days from the rail strike taking effect. I think it's December 12th.
That's true.
So why don't we do that? And here's what's going to happen now. There's another caller that wants to come in and share their comments or questions. So I'm going to go ahead and move you to the headset. I'm going to bring on our next caller. And I do believe our next caller is Eric, but I'm not sure what Eric wants to say. So, Eric, I am bringing you live now. Eric, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man, still surviving. How about yourself?
Yeah, the same thing. I'm really trying to just find out what topic I should talk about, because I heard about the trainees. And that you know, they should identify themselves beforehand. You know, I agree with that. And then I'm hearing about the railroad versus trucker thing. It was quite a transition. So, yeah, please What topic are we talking about?
Yeah, we've jumped around a little bit. You know, we kind of allow
a little
the people
that is a huge leap.
That was like a Grand Canyon jump. I know to go from one to the other like that. So you know what? You tell me which one you want to weigh in on. Do you want to talk about, because the next segment that I was trying to transition to, poor choice of words there, was the use of pronouns in the workplace and some of the problems that this is creating. And so, you know, we had Joey Bags in here talking about his experience where, you know, he basically just did his job as a manager and gave someone directives on what they needed to do, which is what a manager does at work. But they felt, you know, whatever. They didn't like his toxic masculinity and filed a complaint on him, even though nothing was directed towards their sexual orientation. Now, I will say this about Joey Bags. I know him very well. If there was ever a poster child for toxic masculinity, he is the child for toxic masculinity. There is you don't have any doubts where you stand with him if you encounter him outside of his place of work. He'll never make that a mystery, you know, just like him sitting there telling the manager, quit beating around the bush, just tell me what you got to say. So he is a very masculine guy, you know, but then the whole thing and my theory on that individual that complained on him for referring to that individual as a her, which he honestly, I've talked to Joey about this, you know, prior to the show. He honestly thought that person wanted to be identified as a female based upon the fact that they were presenting themselves as a female. They had told him they were taking hormones to get ready for breast implants, which he did not ask. By the way, that individual offered that information to him completely unsolicited. So he took all that and said, okay, this person wants to be identified as a woman. And so he referred to them as her. But I have a theory that if he had referred to this person as a he, that they would have also filed the complaint. And I even think that if he had gone to that individual and asked what their pronouns were, which we all know at this point after the conversation, Joey Bags doesn't even know what a pronoun is. But I think if he had tried to have that conversation, I think they would have reported that as an awkward situation as well. I think he was just kind of put into a situation, you know, where screwed no matter what, because they probably looked at him and saw him as a toxic, masculine person that they see as a threat, and so they just want to get him completely out of their life. And so you run to HR, you make a complaint for some sort of sexual harassment or whatever, and that seems to do the trick, obviously, because they moved him to a completely different store because of that complaint over a seemingly minor incident in my book. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they were, as you said, that he was a mark. That's what he was. And they love that kind of attention. That's why they're self-mutilating themselves. That really is what it is. And everyone needs, you know, the entire, you know, what is it? Like, well, it's such a small population that is actually trans. But yet it's becoming such a, where we all have to cater to them. And then they want to, you know, these men that transition to women and then are wrestling, fighting women, or participating in female sports and are dominating. Well, no shit, Sherlock, because you have you have a better bone structure. You know, nature doesn't lie, okay? Men were made for this, to hunt and do all that. Women, and I'm not trying to be sexist or anything. It's just, these are just nature facts. Women were made to just have, you know, have kids and, you know, and not that they don't have minds. They work, and some are, I've been with many women, very smart, and they can do, they can do anything, you know, intellectually, that a man can do. physically, no, you are not in the same frame. So no. So okay, you wanna. So the whole transition thing, it doesn't make sense to me. Your self mutilation, you know, there is a. I don't know what the what that's actually called, but that's pretty much what we're talking about with like 90% of what these people are doing. And then they want to be included with everything. That doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? You can't be included in the other sex. It's very frustrating to see. And now I will say, it's fun. It is fun to see the women get pissed off about this now, because it's like, man, I worked my ass off. And then all of a sudden this dude just transitioned to be a woman, and now I'm getting smoked. And this woman that's been working her ass off in college now, and, you know, she could have been the fourth, fifth, or sixth in the spot with track or whatever, and now she doesn't make it. She doesn't make it because, she just got edged out by one because this one transitioner is smoking everyone and got pushed back. How is that fair? Like, what are we talking about? I mean, isn't it? Come on, are we all just forgetting nature? Like, how nature is? I would like to know your thoughts. Like,
I'm going to switch to Daryl here in just a minute, but just to throw a little bit of history and some facts out, I can already read some of the death threats that are going to be coming in from this show. But
but why? Because they're facts, and you know that's so ridiculous that people want to do death threats or cancel people, cancel culture, because we're just stating facts. That's all we're doing,
right? You know, but if you go back to the 1970s, and you can picture a time when the military was limited to males, females served in supporting roles in the military, but didn't outright enlist to be like regular soldiers. And so in the 1970s, the feminist movement started demanding that they open up enlistment to females. And so when the Army did, they created the same standard of physical fitness for females as males, meaning they had to do the same number of push-ups, sit-ups, they had to run their 2-mile run in the same amount of time, the same number of pull-ups. Literally, the standards were no different from one to the other. Well, then what happened was they started bringing females in, and they were failing out of boot camp at alarmingly high rates because they could not, in mass, achieve the same physical fitness results. And so at that point, there was more pressure from the feminist movement. And what they ended up doing this huge study, and they cited 121 different physiological differences between males and females, which they then used to create a separate scoring method for females, which meant they had to do significantly less push-ups. Males had to do 42. Females only had to do 23. It was a significantly longer amount of time on the run. It was not a significant amount of difference on the sit-ups. It was only a change of like one or two sit-ups. But irregardless, they took those standards and applied them throughout the military thing. So if, for example, if you were an ammo handler and you had to move 50 cases of ammunition within a 10-minute period, a female would only have to move like 32 cases of ammunition in that same period of time. So they came in and they created those separate standards. And then I don't know if you ever saw the movie G.I. Jane or not, where they basically called attention to the fact that females had separate physical standards. And in Hollywood basically blasted the military and called it sexist for having the separate physical standards for the females that they demanded, you know, just 15 years prior to that. So, yeah, it's been a whole game of just cat and mouse. Daryl,
why don't you weigh in?
Hey, if you don't mind, Kelly would like to voice in because, you know, her daughter is in the Army right now.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
So, yeah, my daughter is in boot camp or basic training for the Army right now, and I will say yes. They have their standards, and I'm going to tell you most women don't want those standards. They like to push themselves to get to the man standards. A lot of them can't get to those standards because we don't have the same body type. We don't have the same we have estrogen. You guys have testosterone. And honestly, we're different people. We're different human beings, and it should be separate. Now, my daughter and a couple of her friends didn't meet the man's, the men request because they fought for it. They worked for it. And it took a lot of time to get to that point. But again, man's body and a woman's body is so different that, yes, I agree with the military for doing that because we women don't have the power, the muscle mass that men do. So, yeah, I agree with the military, and I agree with, you know, and I have another thing about trans, but I won't get into that.
Yeah, well, I think the main thing is to take away from this, there is a place for men in certain things and there's a place for women in each category. It doesn't mean women can't be in the military all because they can't do X amount of push-ups or pull-ups. There's just a different place. There's a place for everyone. We all have our own little distinct ways of being able to be a provider to a certain cause business or anything.
But if a woman wants to push themselves that hard, they're going to cause bodily damage, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, or you know, wasn't there like one female Marine that actually made it through everything? Like, she's the most badass woman ever. I almost want to say I remember reading that. I don't know if you know. You seem to know a lot, so...
Yeah, I know there was a Canadian infantry woman that actually passed the male standard for being an infantry combat soldier. That was like back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But I'm
I knew you would know it. I knew
here,
you would.
Yeah, I got to keep the show moving. So I'm going to put you back on
I'm sorry. I didn't
Daryl.
Mean to take up so much time. I appreciate you taking our call.
Oh, no. You're all good. Thanks for calling in. I hope you guys are having a great night. And I'm going to put you on the headset now. We do have another caller that's coming in, but I'm going to go to Daryl before I pull that caller up. You guys have a good night.
You too.
All right, Daryl. Still there, Daryl? Daryl, co-host Daryl? Oh, wait.
Can you
somehow
hear me? There you go.
There we go. Yeah, somehow you got switched to the headset. I don't know how that happened. All right. All right, so you've been kind of quiet here. We've had a lot of people weighing in on a lot of things in the last 15, 20 minutes. What are your thoughts on all this?
All right, as for the trucker thing, we need to talk about that next week because that's a whole big can of worms that we can talk into.
That's a whole episode in itself.
That one you can't get me started on there's a lot of stuff that the government has done that screw us over, but they want to pat us on the back when they need us. And then when they don't need us, we're like the damn elf on the shelf. We'll just put you on the side. And some of these big companies, they need to be put in check on a lot of stuff. But let's do that next week. As for this old boy that got in trouble because of this trans, let's just put it like this, because of this transgender, this man who's dressing up like a woman, taking estrogen, got silicon boobies and all this stuff, and then goes out and tell the manager, this is what I'm doing. What else does this person think that he's supposed to be addressed as? You know, he's being polite. You're dressed as a woman. You're acting like a woman. You got implants or getting shots like a woman. You tell him, I'm doing this as like a woman, and then he gets in trouble because he addresses her as a woman. This stuff has gone too far. Corporate, I don't know what's up with corporate America. I think corporate America has gone soft and gone stupid. But now we're at a point where you don't even know what to call someone. You know what? If you want to be a man and you want to dress up like a woman, so be it. You're still a freaking man. That's just like when black folks used to buy a Chrysler 300 and they take the grill off and everything and put a Bentley grill on. It's not a damn Bentley. It's still a Chrysler 300. Okay, same thing. You know what? So the LBGMOUSE plus symbol, if you want to get mad at me, get mad at me. But you know what? I'm just telling the truth like it is. Because you got these women that's been fighting their butts off in these sports, and you got a man, and it is a man, and these men are cowards because if you look at their sports when they were a man, they were getting their butts kicked. Then all of a sudden they trans over, I'm a woman, and you go over here to a woman's sport, then all of a sudden you're blowing these women away because you're not a woman, and you have the news sitting back saying, oh, they're a hero, oh, such courage, no such bullshit, because you know what, these women, biological women, they fought hard to get into positions where they're at and where they are in for running for medals, running for sports, all these things. And a man comes in dressed up like a woman saying, I identify as a woman, gets to go in their sport, and they dominate? That's BS. When do we have some common sense to say, you know what, I understand your feelings. You want to feel like a woman? By all means. You can dress like a woman, wear high heels like a woman, do it. But you're not participating in this sport. You are a biological man.
I actually have, I think, a compromising solution for the whole athletics issue when it comes to that. And here's my thought. So we'll still have the traditional biological male sports, and we'll still have the traditional biological female sports. And then we can open up a class that's just referred to as open class. So if you're Ronda Rousey and you think you can beat Floyd Mayweather's ass in a ring and you want to compete in that open class, right, go for it.
Yep.
You can compete. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Male, female, other, they, them, he, her, you know, this, that, the other, banana, as Joey would say. You can compete as anything. It's open class. It doesn't matter what your biological sex was at birth. It doesn't matter what you identify as. It is open class, athlete versus athlete. Any athlete
that's
versus any athlete. And in that realm, then you can say, okay, you know what, this is open to everybody. You've got the physiological male side, you've got the physiological female side, and you've got the open class. Because I'm not going to pretend like there aren't some female athletes out there that could absolutely beat some male athletes. But that's
the
general rule when it comes to the people that are at the top of their sports. If you take your top five or your top 10 best runners in the Olympics or in whatever, and you pit them against the top five or the top 10 female runners in the Olympics or in high school, college, whatever, those males are going to outperform the females. And I mean, that is just
exactly
a physiological fact, you know. But again, why not have that open class? You know what? Because it's not going to be like that everywhere. In some high school sports, you're probably going to have some females that can beat out some of the males in certain conferences, certain districts, you know, around the country. So
I agree.
My compromise solution. I don't know if anybody will listen to it or not. Nobody.
Well, they won't. They won't listen to it because the feminists, which I think they're gone wacko anyway. That, you know, it's common sense what you're saying, because there's no reason why a man, and I don't care how you look at it, there's no reason why a biological man is entering any female sports. It should not be like that. Period. Because it is not fair to these females. Now, like you said, you have the open class where a man could go against a transgender man. A woman can go against a transgender woman and vice versa. By all means, have a category like that. because then now it's fair, because now you're not having a biological male competing with a biological woman in a biological woman sport. Now we have an open sport, just like martial arts. On some of them, you have it where women, they're going against the men. And the woman beats that man's butt, so be it. Because there are some women out there, they can fight. They do not play around. And like you said, there are some women out there that can outperform some of these men. But like the young lady came on, biologically, they're different.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm going to add Brian into the mix here. Brian's one of our regular callers. I'm sure he's got something good to say. So, Brian, you are coming live now. And, all right, Brian, are you here?
Yep, I'm right here.
All right, what do you have to add to one of the many conversations we've had this evening?
Well, I'm going to do something that I like doing. I'm going to tie everything together under a single banner, if you'll give me a minute.
We're going to tie the railroad stuff,
the transgender stuff, and women in the Army, armed services.
All right.
We have gotten so far away, and we have all of these problems because we've gotten so far away from objective truth and objective reality. I'm going to say something that's going to be really, really, really unpopular. The railroad, the unions that are striking, let's be clear and honest. So what? Please understand, it's not so much that I don't think we need them. It's the point that they got in bed with the federal government 100
yep.
years ago, and now all of a sudden, oh, no, it's not what we – we're not getting paid as much as we – they don't pay Social Security tax, okay? That's a little trick that nobody actually knows. They don't pay Social Security tax. All of their money gets put into a special account for them. They're getting, on average, about $3,000 a month right now for their retirement. Hey, that sounds good. The average Social Security payout is at $1,500 a month. Well,
huh.
Wait a minute.
Interesting.
Why is there a difference? What are they actually bitching about? They're bitching because they have to be on call 5 days a week. They might be gone overnight. Oh, no, how terrible. Seriously? I mean, please understand. I'm not trying to pick on them in particular, but the simple fact of the matter is when you get away from objective truth and you get away from objective reality, you end up with shit like this. You got the railroads, they're bitching because they think they're being mistreated. They're not. You've got these transgender people that think that they are need to be in a special category because and treated special, by the way, because
deep
reasons. I mean, anytime you actually dig down and try to get to any actual factual reason for any of this stuff, the only thing they come up with is, well, I feel that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris,
thank you.
You know exactly how tall I am.
I
feel like I should be an NFL quarterback. You know my build. You know exactly how long I'll last on a football field as a quarterback.
Tell you what.
Hell, how long
you,
I've lasted.
You make that happen, I will move heaven and earth to be at the stadium to watch your debut as an NFL quarterback.
Well, I would say I would love to see that, but the fact of the matter is I don't think I'd make it much past the first snap, and I probably would not be conscious or alive after the first snap. It's just not going to happen. That's just the reality. It doesn't matter how much I want.
I would zoom in.
It's not going to
happen. I would zoom in and record it and put it on TikTok.
Oh, with my blessing, women in combat roles. Look, I don't mind a woman in the armed services. I'm a veteran. I served next to women. That's fine. But
Thank you for your service.
Fact of the matter is, it was truly my privilege. But the simple fact of the matter is, if they are not able to meet standards, and we need an objective standard for this, because a rifle is not lighter for me than it is for the woman, or vice versa. The pack is not lighter for me or her. It's the same weight. So we have to do the exact same job. You guys want equality. That's fine. I'm all for equality. But equality means meeting the same damn standards. It's not It's not, well, because my muscle mass is different, I shouldn't have to meet this requirement. But are you going to do the same job? Yeah, then you have to meet the same requirement.
Yep.
You know, we accept that literally everywhere. Women don't have a different driving test, do they?
Right. No.
But right? No. We have to change things. All this stuff makes me think of a poem written about 100 years ago by Kipling. Don't ask me to pronounce his first name. I can never pronounce that damn thing straight. But the name of the book, the name of the poem is God's the Copybook Heading. And if you'll let me, I want to read this last stanza to you real quick. It's just really short. It says, and after this is accomplished and the brave new world begins, when all men are paid for existing and no man must pay for his sins, as surely as water will wet us, as surely as fire will burn, the gods of the copybook headings with terror and slaughter return. Tell me that's not where we're sitting right now. We're literally paying people
that
to sit on the couch. We're telling people, don't worry about anything. And by the way, I strongly suggest people go and read this poem. Just take 5-10 minutes and read the poem. And if you honestly can read this poem and it doesn't scare the hell out of you when you compare it to what's going on, you need to check your pulse or check your IQ, one or the other. I don't know which one. But
what's the name of the poem?
The name of the poem is Gods of the Copybook Heading by Kipling.
Okay.
Same guy that wrote The Jungle Book. But when you get away, like I said, when you get away from the objective standards and objective truth, this is what you end up with. You end up in this weird system where I have the authority because of my feelings to make you accept my reality. Why is it that we accept that with some things but not others? You know,
true.
I feel like I should be a millionaire. Why hasn't Bill Gates written me a check yet? Or whoever else? But, I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm not trying to be an asshole when I say those things. But really, if we can't agree on objective reality, objective facts, then we literally have no basis to discuss anything on. You know, and that's been the entire onslaught of the progressive era, since the progressive era, is
it's
get
true.
Rid of objective facts. You heard that term, everything is relative. No, it's not. You know,
no.
It's either yes or no, black or white, man or woman. I mean, things are binary, you know, for a reason. So, like I said, I was going to try to tie everything together, sort of. I don't know that I really did that all that well, but there you go.
Right. I think it was.
Well, thanks for that,
I understood where he was coming from because that makes sense.
Absolutely. You know what? If you want to stick around, Brian, I'm going to let Daryl bring us to our next topic, which kind of ties into some of the stuff with the trans issues and the LGBTQ plus community. Kind of a hot topic on the news, but seems like maybe some of the details aren't exactly as they were portrayed by our legacy media corporations. So, Daryl, why don't you go ahead and lead us into this conversation about the Q3 nightclub shooting out there that took place in your neck of the woods.
It took place there in Colorado Springs. And, you know, and it is a tragedy what happened on that. But this thing that irritates me between the news and all these other people, they're making this just seem like it's just a LGB MOUSD thing, and that's it. It's not. Because straight people go to these clubs. And I could have sworn there were straight people that died. Also, there was a straight person that did pull down, that did attack the gunman, along with another individual. And I think the other individual, I'm not sure if that individual was gay or not. But just point being, I don't like it when people sit up here and use this as a label. Well, this is just against the LGB community. No, it's against the community because you had straight people die there too. Straight people, let's get this straight. You know what? Straight people go to these clubs. I know when I was in Vegas, me and a group of guys were up there, we're just wondering, okay, we need to go someplace where there's some music because this music sucks. And this guy's like, let's go to the gay club. And I'm like, excuse me? And he said, let's go to the gay club. I heard they got good music. And we went to the gay club. Man, that music was pretty damn good. Talked to some of those people. You know what? They knew I wasn't gay. And they, you know, they were fine with me. The bathroom, we're not going to talk about that. But, you know, but when when you have tragedy like this happen, and they sit back and they label it as one, I think is I'm going to call bullshit on it. And I'm going to call bullshit on our local news that did it too. Because it's a community. It's a community issue. And this person, and you have some people, like I'm going to say this one lady named, she's going for Denver mayor. And her name is, she's a Democrat. And her name is, it slips my mind now. But Leslie Harrell, she's a Democrat. But see, and I think she's supposed to be the first black LGB person that's, you know, that's a state representative. But yet she wants to go ahead and run for mayor also. But the thing I didn't like is when she decided to dip her two cents in, and she's talking about how much of a tragedy this was, which it is, but she only mentioned the gay side of it. And then at the end of it, had the nerve to say, we need more gun control. All right, I have an issue with all you Democrats and all you liberals that sit back and you say everything is a freaking dealing with the guns. You know what? This guy that came in and did this coward, and the news is not doing this pronoun. I'm not going to do no pronouns because you're a man, you're a male or a female. And this cowardly male stepped into this club and killed people. I'm not going to say just gay people. He killed straight people. He killed a woman killed a woman's fiance who was about to get married, killed him. Straight people and gay people died and got injured. But yet we make it as just a gay thing. No, it's not. It should have been, you know what, this is a community problem. This community faces a bad tragedy. This is how it should be. And then what do? We sit back and the coward that ended up doing the shooting, we end up saying, well, he has a problem with mental illness. I'm sorry, that's his lawyers talking that mess, because he didn't have no mental illness when he loaded the bullets up. He didn't have mental illness when he loaded the gun. He didn't have mental illness when he walked off, when they showed him walking in the airport. He didn't have no mental issues when they raided his house. You know, he didn't have a mental issue when he came walking in there and did what he did. You know, anyone that does any type of mass shooting, I don't care if it's a straight club, a gay club, a black club, a Hispanic club, an Asian club, a school, a church. You go out here and ambush police officers. If people die, they don't go to death row. They get executed. That's the way it needs to start going. Because we're being so soft on crime, the first thing we do, we blame a gun. But no one wants to go ahead and say, you know what, this is an issue. Because we're going to have more of these issues going on. Because why? Because these people know. What's going to happen? You're going to send me to jail? Ooh, I go ahead and I get food. I get to watch TV. And the way that some of these jails are going now is like a daggone nightclub. I mean, it's like a daycare center. You got people, when you go to jail, you don't want to go back. You got people who wants to go back. You know, but it, all this ties into this shooting, because all these factors, if you look at all these factors, or what's happening in here. We're too soft on crime. Nobody wants to do anything. But then now we got people that's want to make – you have this representative along with another representative. You know, and I know it's just not her, but I'm just pointing her out. But, you know, I think a lot of it is because she wants to run for mayor. So this is a good time for her to go ahead and get the LGB votes and get other people's votes. But instead of coming out and saying, you know, it shouldn't matter what her label is. She just came out and said, you know what, this is a tragedy. You know what, we had people that died. We had a lot of people that's injured. I am going to make sure that we go ahead and do whatever we can to make sure this tragedy does not happen again. Instead of going after the guns, we're now going to start going after the criminals. We're going to start making their punishments severe. So that in that way, when you people, you do this, you know what's going to happen. You know, I say we give them 2 weeks, and then after that, that way the family can come over and say, here's the picture when they were in kindergarten, here when they were in high school, this and that. You know, my shooter, the shooter wasn't a bad person. Well, the shooter was an evil person. Anyone that does stuff like that, you're just plain freaking evil. And we need to address that. And we need to start addressing all of this stuff, because I'm getting sick and tired of everybody using all these different labels to go ahead and make their point. You know what? It doesn't matter if you're gay or if you're straight. It's a community. We had a tragedy happen in a community, and that's how we need to start addressing it, as a community, not this separate stuff. Because we continue down this line of this separate, everything has to be separate, we're never going to get along. We're never going to figure out what's going on, and nothing's going to ever be fair. And then we have, oh boy, like he happened in the like he happened at his work. He didn't do anything wrong. He sat up there and addressed the person the way they wanted it to be addressed, because they're looking like a woman, and it's just like these people, and I'm going to say it like that, you're taking advantage of the situation where a person sits back who is confident in themselves, whether they're a male or whether they're a female, you have a problem with it, and then you decide to do anything you can to get that person in trouble. But yet we have corporation or people who are supervisors who does not have enough, how can I say, guts to sit back and say, look, this person here is doing a job. He told you, he or she told you, this is the job you need to do. It doesn't matter what you want to come and dress by. You have a job to do. If you're not doing your job, told to do your job. If you cannot do your job, then you don't need to be working there. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what sex you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man who wants to be a woman or a woman who wants to be a man. We need to get back to people acting like freaking people, respecting each other. And the thing is, quit acting like freaking snowflakes. And I'm sick and tired of all this labeling that's going on. Again, what happened in Colorado Springs, it affects the community. It's not just a gay thing. We have straight people out there. It affects the community, period. And that's how we need to start addressing it. I'm sick and tired of the news just adding fire to the flames, and they don't even straighten out anything. And then you have people that's making our laws. They want to move on to something else. And they use this tragedy to go ahead and have their self justification of things they want to do, and everybody, and then when it comes down to it, everybody blames a gun. When do we start blaming human beings for their stupidity? That's all I got, sir.
All right. Well said. So the thing that's always gotten me is that we only blame the inanimate objects when it's a firearm. You know,
yep.
Back in the late 80s, early 90s, when DUI deaths were at an all-time high, for those of you that didn't live in that era, I mean, drunk drivers were just running off the road, hitting people head-on, crashing through houses. I mean, it was like a... It was like a real problem of major proportion that people were going out, getting completely schnockered, driving their car,
yep,
passing out behind the wheel, and killing people. I mean, the numbers were off the charts. No one ever came in and said, we need to ban cars. They treated the problem with DUI as a behavior issue, and they started imposing stiffer penalties. They started mandating rehabilitation as a part of sentences for a DUI conviction, you know, breath alcohol testing to ensure that you were staying sober during your probation, following your conviction, after your release, parole, or probation. They started treating, or basically they started combating the behavior that was causing the outcome. They didn't attack the cars. And this seems to be the only comeback for any type of situation. What we have
is we have a problem with people not valuing life. We have a morals problem. We have a mental health crisis. No one's talking about banning cars after the Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas parade,
mm-hmm.
where someone drove their SUV up to a parade, lined themselves up behind a bunch of senior citizens that were marching right behind a bunch of 9-year-old girls in a dance troupe, and just mowed them down with no mercy, injuring 60, mm-hmm. killing 8. No one called for banning cars because the obvious was apparent to everyone. The car did not do that. The person operating that car made that car, or the SUV, they made the SUV do that. Just like someone with a firearm points it and pulls a trigger and causes that inanimate object to affect a very negative reality. I don't understand why we only treat firearm incidents as something where we blame the inanimate object. We don't blame, you know, when someone goes out and they commit arson, we don't go out and say, oh, man, we've got to ban matches. We've got to ban gasoline. We've got to ban lighter fluid. We have to ban lighters. we have to ban any material used to construct a torch. We have to ban any type of fluid that can be used as an accelerant to start a fire. We don't do that. We treat arson as a problem with the person that started the damn fire. We don't attack the tools that they use to start the fire. We attack the individual who started it. Because what they use to accomplish that objective really doesn't matter. You are no less dead if you burn to death in an arson incident, or if you get stabbed to death, or if you get ran over by a car, than someone who gets shot. Mm-hmm. So we have to tackle this as an issue of, we have a culture problem, a mental health problem, a behavior problem. We need to figure out and get to the bottom of, why do people in large numbers and larger numbers than ever before feel like it's acceptable or the cool, trendy thing to do to go out and commit mass murder, regardless of what tool they use? Because I am going to tell you something that is just going to piss off all the gun grabbers out there. Murder is committed by the human mind. Everything outside of the brain of the person that commits a murder, from your bare hands, your feet, a knife, a baseball bat, okay, a box cutter to take control of the air, you know, the cockpit of an aircraft, the gun, whatever. Everything outside of the brain of a killer is nothing more than a tool that they use to accomplish mm-hmm. the objective their brain decided they were going to commit. So going after the guns is not going to solve a mass murder problem. Go ahead, take all the guns away. Someone who is intent on mass murder is going to find another way to commit it. And we've seen that play out time and time again, from the box trucks attacks in France, the box truck attack in New York City, the SUV attack on the Waukesha Christmas Parade, and numerous other examples. Mm-hmm. And Marathon, a pressure cooker.
Yes.
We're going to ban pressure cookers, turn in your Instapots, mandatory buyback on anyone that's got an Instapot, because it can be rigged to be an explosive and used to attack a marathon. Well, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We can't get rid of our cooking instruments. And it wasn't the cooking instrument that went out and designed itself to kill people. That was the construct of the people who decided to take a household item and use it to commit murder. But anyway, we've hit on that enough. We only got 20 minutes left on the show. And so one other topic that I did have out there on the social media postings that I want to get to, why do truckers hate Tesla trucks? Do you want to take a crack at this call? What are your thoughts on the Tesla electric trucks? You know, let me set this up. Elon Musk So Elon Musk tweeted out earlier this week that a Tesla semi, one of the Tesla electric semis, was able to complete a 500-mile delivery on a single charge with a battery, and the total weight of the truck, trailer, and cargo was 81,000 pounds. And so that was to demonstrate that, okay, even at max load capacity for a legal truckload, that the Tesla electric semi was able to pull off 500-mile run, which we know 500-600 miles a day is what a lot of trucks pull out there. And of course, this is being blown up by all the big tech cheerleaders, all the pro EV people. You know, it's just absolute proof that these electric trucks are perfectly suitable for over the road trucking. But of course, nothing could be further from the truth. We are nowhere near being at the point that these electric trucks are practical or even possible right now for over the road use.
No.
So what do you think, Daryl?
Here's a bunch of my thoughts. Number one, I bet that test was done in very good weather and majority of the roads was level. And then usually the maximum weight that we're supposed to carry legally is 80,000. So we're saying, because even if you're a big man like I am, and I weigh over, well, I go over the max weight, I'm still have a chance of getting fined. So why are we giving them an exemption? If they get exemption, if they can haul 81, we should too. But the thing is, look how long it takes a car to get charged up. You know, you got anywhere from 4 to 15 hours for the car to get charged up. We're talking about a truck. And, okay, it does a successful run for 500 miles. With probably, like, again, no bad weather, no accidents, no traffic jam, no nothing. How long does it take to charge that thing up? Because it's not instant. Yo, people, when you sit back and you look at this, and nothing against electric vehicles, you know, but they're not all this green thing that you think it is. Because for these vehicles to be built, it's been the elements coming from your batteries. Okay, listen up to all you green people. The elements that comes from your battery is dug up by what? A gas-powered dump truck, gas-powered drill, gas-powered loader. All right, so they can get these elements to you. So really, you're not that green. And then at the same time, the mines where they're going ahead and get these elements from, they're destroying our earth, and they don't recover. So, again, you're really not doing any better than us pumping oil because, firstly, oil going through a pipeline is a lot cleaner than dealing with this electric crap. But this electric truck thing, no. Because now they're trying to say that they get to go past the weigh scales, which me, if I was governor of Colorado, I say no, because if a truck got to be 80,000 pounds, you can be too. And then at the same time, again, we got mountains. You got snow. You have traffic jams. You got accidents. That lovely 500-mile trip that this truck has made didn't have any real-life road conditions of what's going on. Because if it did, it wouldn't have made the 500 miles. So, again, they're waving the nice shiny apple in front of people, and you're not talking about the dark part of it.
So here's a few things I've been kind of throwing out to some of the tech people. Of course, the big tech people – that are just not understanding why truckers just aren't running out in droves to buy this thing. Of course, they don't understand the trucking industry. They understand that we have trucks and that we put shit in the trailer and we move it from point A to point B. That is the extent of most of their understanding of this business. They don't have the first clue what it takes to get out here and to keep a truck profitable and to keep it running and moving in a timely manner. And so here's some of the things I've been throwing out there
at a few of them, and the responses I get are just amazing. But the whole range estimate is based upon that battery burning, that battery system burning a certain amount of electricity use as it goes down the road, and that average is based upon 2 kilowatts per hour, okay? And basically, on 2 kilowatts per hour, they're saying it can run 500 miles. Okay, so they ran 81,000 pounds. I believe it was done in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. Good weather.
Flat.
Relatively flat roads, right? Now, if you understand a little bit about physics, obviously anytime you have to move that 80,000 or 81,000 pound load up a sharp incline, you have to burn more energy to move that against gravity up a steep grade. Okay, so we're not burning 2 kilowatt hours when we're going up a mountain. Okay, so if you've got something that's going to the East Coast, something that's going to the West Coast, something that's going across the Rockies out there in kind of the west central part of the country, you are going to be burning a lot more electricity usage as you make those runs, which is going to reduce your range. And here's another thing that the techies don't understand. Average is not a real number. Average is a
No, it's not.
Number. They keep saying, well, the average truck only runs, 400 miles a day. Well, that's an average. It's not a real number. If I need to move 550 miles today in order to get this load delivered and to be able to pick up my next load on time, especially if I'm going into a bad reload area, let's say it's a customer that's only open Monday through Friday, and I've got to get that load delivered Friday morning so that I have enough time to get to my next pickup before Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock when they shut the doors for the weekend. If I need to cover 550 miles today to do that, I need to cover 550 miles average truckload is. Average does not factor into this equation. And so if I can't do that, if I run out of charge and now I have to stop and charge and now I miss that load, that means I don't make any money this week. I typically have to run two different loads in a week. That first load that I run in a week, the only damn thing that accomplishes is covering my expenses for the week. That second load is where my paycheck comes from. My ability to pay my mortgage and feed my family comes from that second load. So when you cut that second load off of me, because unfortunately I needed to drive more than the average number of miles today, and you start having that happen multiple times throughout the year, well, you can see where, I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't be okay with, giving up their paycheck for the week if things didn't work out with my truck the way they thought it should. You know, and the other thing is, okay, let's say I'm parked in Fargo, North Dakota in January, and it's 40 below zero, and I have to park for 10 hours night. How many kilowatt hours am I going to burn up as I run the heat enough to keep the cab warm enough to keep my ass from dying of hypothermia? How many kilowatt hours is that going to burn up? Because let's just go ahead and assume if I am in Fargo, North Dakota, and I use Fargo as just a general location. Maybe I'm 50 miles from Fargo. You know, maybe I'm in some other small town in North Dakota. Let's just go ahead and say they don't have a charging station for my Tesla semi. So now I've got to use that battery power to keep myself from dying of hypothermia. What kind of range am I going to have after I've ran the heat for 10 hours, 11 hours? And now I've got to try to move that 80,000-pound load. What happens when I'm moving that 80,000-pound load down the road against a 40-mile-an-hour headwind?
Hour wind. Thank you.
Common in a lot of parts of the country, because here comes physics again. Physics are so pesky. I have to burn a lot more energy to move this large 8'6" wide vehicle, 13'6" tall. It takes a lot of energy to move that vehicle against a 40 mile an hour headwind
if I'm trying to even keep it moving at 50 or 60 miles an hour. You combine that speed against the headwind, that's 110-mile-an-hour wind. That's a hurricane-force wind that's working against that motor. That's going to burn a lot more than the 2 kilowatt-hours on an average run where you've got good weather on flat roads. So what's my range look like then? While we're at it, how many charging stations are there for my semi between, let's say, Bismarck, North Dakota, and Sioux City, Iowa? Are there enough that I can make that distance against a 40-mile-an-hour headwind in the winter months? Probably not. And then let's talk about, what are the components like? You got components on the truck that are on that engine that are going to wear out. I don't know what those components are because I don't know electric motors. I know diesel. I know the components on the diesel engines. I know about how much they cost to replace. I know where they're available. I know about when they're going to go out. I don't know any of that for an electric motor, any of it. I don't know what their replacement costs are. I don't know if they're readily available. And here's the fun part. Let's say I'm out in Hayes, Kansas, motor develops some sort of problem. How far am I going to have that truck towed at a $900 hookup fee and $10 a mile to get it to the nearest EV technician? Nobody can answer that. Nobody can answer it. And that's why we aren't running out and buying Tesla semis.
Yeah, and the thing is, and there's more to this than what you didn't even mention. All right, let's look at the hours of operation. Like you said, you got to stop. You're going to have to stop that semi, and things happen where that clock continues to tick. So the Tesla is going to be on the electronic logbook. So you're going to get stuck somewhere where you're going to have to pull the truck over to the side. And like you said, okay, now you're running low on a charge. Especially if you know you're running low on a charge, you can't get to that charging port, because if you do, then you just did a violation on your ELD.
Right.
So what do you do? Do you get the violation on the ELD, or do you sit there and then hope that you don't run out of
a
charge?
Yeah, you're going to run out of time 40 minutes short of the next available charging station. What do you do? Yeah. And, you know, exactly. I'm going to bring Brian back in for this conversation. He's still hanging out with us.
All right.
So,
all right, Brian,
we got about
4 more minutes here of discussion on this. But what are your inputs on the Tesla truck?
Well, there's a couple of questions that I have automatically off the top of my head. Now, keep in mind, I'm a failed owner-op. I mean, I was an owner-op for 6 years, owned my own truck and own trailer, so I kind of have some background in this kind of notion. But number one, I got to ask a question. How much was the payload that truck pulled? Now, a couple of jobs back, I got paid per hundredweight, and you better bet your lily white that I made sure that trailer was as loaded as I could possibly get it. But if we're talking 80,000 pounds, 81,000 pounds, what's the payload on that? But 30,000 maybe? Oh, good Lord, yeah, definitely going to Hawaii this month.
They're saying there's an extra 2,000-pound allowance on the max gross weight for the EV trucks. And in theory, with that 2,000, they can scale 45,000 pounds in the box.
Well, okay, I mean, that's reasonable and respectable, but
that hasn't
been
proven.
I said, you still have the But you have the issue with the payload, which I'll believe it when I see it. That's kind of how I'm sitting with that. You've got the issue with parking. Parking is already a bitch as is. Now we're going to have parking with these damn hookups? Yeah, because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then
because you know they're not
going to
make the truck stuff bigger.
They're not building any more. So, yeah, they're certainly not going to expand them. And everybody's so safety conscious. Have you seen what happens to one of these EVs when they catch fires? I'm not talking about the big trucks. I'm talking about the small, itty-bitty, go-kart toys that these yuppies are running around in. I mean,
It takes 40,000 gallons of water to put these things out in some cases. In some cases, they literally have to take the car and submerge it in water for 30 days just to get the fire to die. And we're talking a small car. What in the hell are they going to do when one of these things catch fire? Now, I'm kind of one of those weird people, but I think kind of outside the box, or I think through things in a weird way. I already know what I'm going to do if this thing catches, that I'm in, and it's got a ton of diesel on it and everything else. But, you know, an electric fire starts in almost nothing flat and accelerates to an extreme heat that you wouldn't believe in almost nothing. They're using bigger batteries or using more batteries. Those fires are going to be seen from the space station. How the hell are we going to put them out when they catch fire? And you already know that when SWIFT gets a hold of them, we're going to have a ton of fires. So from top to bottom, I cannot see any advantage whatsoever to this. Yeah, I'm running in the Northeast right now. So, you know, 450 miles a day, that's not a big deal. Yeah, sure. Hell, I run 400 miles a day in the Northeast. Imagine that. But you send me out west, it's no big deal to make 700 miles in a day. Am I supposed to stop in the middle of the day and recharge? How long is that going to take?
No. Ever.
So, yeah, in short, there's no way in hell you're going to ever convince me to drive one of those sand things. It sounds like a death trap and an entire money sink.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for that, Brian. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on the headset, and then I'm going to put it back to Daryl to give some closing thoughts here. Thanks, Brian. You have a good time. I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Have a good night, Brian.
You too, bub.
All right. Daryl's been a hell of a show. What are your closing thoughts here?
Man, I love this show. Yeah, we get to talk about stuff that these other stations will not talk about. And all you people that call in, thank you. You people that's listening, thank you. You know, we touched on the LGBT shooting that, you know, we need to get away from the labels. Again, it needs to be, it's community. It's a tragic happening to a community. That's how it needs to be. The workplaces that are doing this pronoun, and now, you know, you have someone that's only thing he wanted to do was to do his job, period, and supervise like he's supposed to, and he gets ridiculed for it or get moved out someplace because the small portion of people who has the issues, and like you said, they're self-mutilating themselves, and apparently they're not happy with themselves. They need to make everybody else suffer, and there's no reason why the small percentage of people get to have so much power, and you have the corporations bowing down to them. And as for Tesla trucks, no. This push for all green and all that. People, listen to me. This Earth's been here for a very long time. God knows what the heck he's doing. You know what? You got stupid people talking about cow farts and everything else. And now you have these stupid other extremists talking about they want to kill a bunch of dogs because they want to do the paw prints. You know what? It's time for us to get our heads out of our asses and start standing up with some common sense. Like old boy said, or like your guy said earlier, I said, we need to start dealing with reason, with reality and reason. People need to start getting off their butts and go to work. People need to start, instead of listening to Google and all this other crap, start looking at facts. And when someone presents a fact to you, don't get pissed off and call them a racist and everything else. You know what? Listen to the fact. You may learn something. You know, and anytime somebody talks badly about a group of people, okay, we'll just say like the LGBT. You know what? We're not racist. We have questions, and we want to stand up. We want to understand you, but at the same time, you have to understand us. It's a give and take. So I'm blessed that we have this program, that we have this podcast going, and you know what, everybody that listens in, that calls in, I appreciate you. And you know what, you guys need to look at this vaccine very seriously, because these blood clots and these myocardia that's been showing up, people, this is for real. And if you ask your doctor to see what the ingredients is and he can't tell you, then you ought to have some caution about this. this stuff is for real, folks. It's not what you call this crazy theory stuff. This stuff is for real, and we need to start listening. People has died from this. Start taking it seriously, folks.
That's right. 80,000, over 80,000 deaths associated with vaccination reported to VAERS, which only represents 1 to 10% of the total cases that are not being reported. So we are potentially looking at anywhere from 800,000 million deaths. But nobody's talking about that. You got to ask yourself why. But folks, on that note, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you for everyone who's listening here. Thank you for everyone who called in and contributed. As always, we hope to see you at the next show. Everybody, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Have a good night, and we'll see you next time on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.